Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, February 5th, 2008 Carborough Board of Aldermen meeting. We will begin with requests from visitors and speakers from the floor. Is anybody here who's here to speak on a matter that is not on our printed agenda? Okay.
Good.
I have just one brief announcement I wanted to mention. I think this coming Friday is going to be one of the Second Friday Art Walk. And here at Carborough Town Hall, we'll be participating. And we have a show that is in the process of installation out there in the hallways. It's going to be Carborough's own Dave Otto, who will be showing some of his photography from along Bowling Creek and other locations. So come on out Friday night, various venues all over downtown, but including Carborough Town Hall at like 8 would be a good time to stop by. Would be among many
six,
good times.
Six to nine.
So 8 for sure is good. All right.
When is that?
We are also going to have the dedication of the Wilson Park, the new tennis backboards at Wilson Park, and that will be
Wednesday at 3:30.
A week from tomorrow at 3:30 at Wilson Park. So please come on out for that as well. All right. With that, Mr. Manager, the consent agenda.
Okay. First item is approval of the minutes of the previous meetings of January 15th and 22nd. Second item is a resolution approving a memorandum of understanding with a partnership to end homelessness. Item 3 is a resolution authorizing the transfer of property to Orange Community Housing and Land Trust. Item 4 is a request to amend the Centura installment purchase contracts to enable additional software purchases for the Recreation and Public Works Departments. And item 5 is a request to set a public hearing for the temporary street closing permit application for the Tar Heel 10-miler.
Move adoption.
Second.
Didn't you have an amendment to the minutes?
I think it's not an amendment to the minutes, but we'll have a separate motion in just a moment. It's been moved and seconded for the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. It's been suggested, I think through oversight, we had meant to have, as we have in past years, have two liaisons to the Economic Sustainability Commission. And we only appointed one the other night. And so anyway, Randy Haven O'Donnell has requested that she also be appointed. So is there a motion for that?
Second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. You keeping up over there? All right. With that, we're on agenda item D1.
Okay. Manager. This is a continued discussion of an ordinance amending the land use ordinance to modify foot candle limitations in B1C and B1G districts and the parking space dimensions. The board held a public hearing on a draft ordinance that modifies maximum light levels in two downtown zoning districts and reduces parking space length throughout town. Staff has finalized the language regarding elimination at the interface between residential properties and the B1C and the B1G zoning districts. Trish, is there anything you need to say?
We did hand out to you all, set your places. You have a slightly revised version of the ordinance, which is marked up like this. And there was a typo in here in the version we had on Friday, and when we went to press, we weren't quite ready with the corrections, but we have it in front of you tonight. So what this says, though, is just spells out that this there'll be a much lower foot candle limitation for the B1C and the B1G zoning districts. The standard foot candle limitation will continue to be 0.2 foot candles, and this is applicable throughout the town. And in the B1C and the B1G districts, it'll be the 0.2. I'm sorry, I'm going backwards here. It's 0.2 where everywhere in town it's 2. And so it'll be higher in the B1C and the B1G zoning districts. Excuse me for that. And then it goes on to clarify that there will be some exceptions even within the B1C and the B1G zoning districts where it will continue to be 0.2 foot candles, and that will be wherever bless you. wherever we have residential properties adjacent to or across the street from B1C and B1G zoning districts, and that's properties that are zoned residential, and then wherever we have properties that are zoned non-residential but are being used for residential purposes, either adjacent or across the street. So these four provisions clarify those exceptions, I mean, those exceptions to the two-foot candles. Yes.
What happens in the instance of if it's a mixed-use building?
Well, it's a there currently, I don't believe, are any mixed-use buildings that have residential components in them.
I mean, but we have, like, a slew that will be coming before, so how would it affect mixed use?
Well, this is saying that that it's only for those properties. That's going to occur in non-residential zoning districts, not in residential zoning districts. We won't see commercial mixed-use projects going in those locations. So if you look at item 4 or subsection 4, subdivision 4, I guess, is how we refer to it, it's only going to be this, the limitation where the properties are zoned commercial and there's a residential use going on, will the higher or the lower foot candle limitation apply? If it's existing now, so a new project is going to be a new mixed use project would be allowed. You would be allowed to have the higher foot candle limitation.
So mixed use, even if it's 3/5 residential, will still be considered commercial.
Yes, that's right.
See,
and it'll be considered a development in a commercial zoning district.
Right.
Yep.
I can see further down the line where the people who are living in those 3/5 as residential will have some issues with their location being considered commercial. I don't know if that applies and probably doesn't apply to the item before us so much, but I can kind of see that as a red flag further down the line, where people are saying, well, yeah, this is residential because I live here and all of my neighbors live here.
That's
going to be an issue.
We are the draft, some portions of the draft ordinance provisions we're looking at are really moving to a maximum illumination per acre kind of standard rather than this one. The shielding and light fixture type approach to the dark sky provisions are really seen as the way to deal with the nuisance element, which I think primarily is, I'm assuming to some degree, primarily what you would be representing as a concern of folks who would live in the residential properties.
I can think of all kinds of concerns that people living in residential properties that are governed by commercial regulations will feel. I mean, for tonight, we'll just focus on the lights, but if I can see that coming down the line. I know you disagree with me, but wait 2 years from now until it's before us, and I'll say, remember when I said, what are these people going to think about?
Well, I think it would be good for us to have some experience. Currently, if we look at the lights that are out there now, I would say the background lighting that's occurring on the street is higher than this anyway.
Right.
And so if it will be a slight increase if we allow 2-foot candles at the property line for these properties. And then, you know, while we're evaluating a maximum illumination per acre, we may be able to get a better sense of what the maximum illumination is.
So what this
overall
is saying,
in the downtown and
with
how it
this
be,
could particular be one, and I wasn't just talking about lighting there, but we'll deal with that later. This particular one, if it is in, it can be 2.0 unless it's abutting these properties.
That's correct.
If it's abutting those properties, it has to be, instead of 2.0, it has to be 0.2.
That's right.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, so any existing residential that's out there, any residentially zoned property, the requirement would be
this.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Trish, is there any stipulation as to how high on a building the lighting can be installed?
No. Well, let me see. There's There are, not on a building, I mean, there's a maximum light fixture height. So
I guess what I'm thinking is this 2-foot candlelight. I mean, I don't know why anyone would do this, but it could theoretically be installed on a third story or a fourth story, you know, where it would, you know, not really serve the ground, but perhaps create more of a annoyance to nearby neighbors.
I think if there were outdoor areas, a terrace or something like that on an upper story, you know, you would see outdoor lighting for sure on a building. And we would, you know, we would require those lights to be shielded so that there wasn't any light, you know, coming out horizontally from the light fixtures, anything other than horizontally above the horizontal plane. But it would be lighting that was at a higher level than just lighting for, you know, activities at the street level.
Well, that's interesting you ask that, because that's just what I was going to ask. I was going to ask it in a slightly different way, which is that some of the several of the buildings that are VMUs that have commercial on the first floor and residential above it, I'm thinking the residential would be above what would be the street lighting, or is that the wrong assumption?
What do you mean? The street lights, or
it's higher than the poles. Higher than the poles.
I think that there could be some windows for residential units that are at about the same height as a pole light.
I can see that. Okay.
I think that would. I mean, that's. But we would try to have those shielded too, so that again, there's light.
But I think Jackie's absolutely right that sooner or later this may come around again.
My question is the use of the property for subparagraph 4, is that going to be static? And that is it going to be what it is on the day we pass the ordinance, or is that going to be checked on occasion? And the reason why I say this is because last Wednesday I was at a three-hour Board of Adjustment meeting. But, no, it was really good. It was really interesting. I don't know if Bob feels the same way, but I thought it was really interesting because they talked about, and one of the things I think we need to talk about in the next 2 years, if something is grandfathered in and the use changes, and one of the questions was, well, did staff take a picture at the time that the ordinance was passed so that there would be a difference between, if there was a question between what was allowed back in 1988 and what's going on the property now. So people should not take any question about, you know, this. It was just something that we saw. So when I see the fourth paragraph, are we talking about residents that are residential or even used as residential, even if commercial now, and that's the date we look at, or if that may change and, say, in 3 or 4 years it changes. And so how is that going to be enforced? I'm just curious.
Well, that provision is to protect properties that are currently are in commercial zoning districts but are residential properties and are being used as residences, but not to provide that same, you know, protection for new residential development that would go into so that's the first kind of part of the question.
No, but not really new residential development, but what if that existing zoning, I mean, use goes from residential to commercial, and then 5 years down the road, it turns back to residential. So at what point does the protection remain? Does it remain for the entire, even if, for example, it becomes pure commercial? Okay.
Well, if it was, it's the provision says it was residential on the effective date of the of the subsection, so it would be if it was residential.
So
if it switched back, you know, as long as they could show that it was residential, then that would be the limitation. You know, the additional lighting wouldn't be provided for that.
So is staff going to look at the effective date and say, okay, this property? Because I know somebody in the future is going to be an issue, and I guess my suggestion would be near the effective date, one might want to just put that on a piece of paper or something, or take a digital picture, then hold on to that, because I kind of feel after that meeting that somebody's going to bring it up.
We have checked I mean, we know of several, okay. And we were going to do one more check of the properties out there, but there are you know, not quite a handful of units.
Okay.
Lydia.
Trish, I know at our planning board meeting we talked about some of the concerns that have been raised here at length. And I know that staff mentioned that the lighting ordinances are going to be reviewed as soon as the MOD ordinance comes out by the International Dark Sky Association. Do you have any idea when that might be available?
I've asked for that information, but I haven't had any reply from them yet.
Hoping this year, though.
Yes. I've been checking for several months on the status of it, you know, its availability, and it's not yet available, but I haven't gotten a reply from the folks at that organization yet either. Could give you a more specific answer.
Okay. Now, all of you asked when you came in whether we can get you out of here quickly, and then you had to ask all these questions about this ordinance.
I wasn't here.
We're only
going to
have for a year. All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a limit. Sorry.
Move the item.
Well, we have Ellen Perry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bob, can Ellen use your microphone there? Ellen wanted to speak on this.
I would like to say that Fidelity Street is dark. When I roll up, Dim Street is the only street I feel safe on because we put an extra light. So, you know, please think about people with disabilities when you are thinking about lighting, because the lighting, if I can't roll safely down the street, then, you know, it's that I'm not going to help. And other people, people that walk, have canes, have crutches, can't get out at night. So just think about us.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Alan. All right. Is there a motion for the
resolutions we need to move?
Right. So which one would you like to move?
I move attachment A.
Which is the
resolution
of consistency has been moved. As seconded, all those in
public hearing?
It's not a quasi-judicial one.
Great, then. Okay. Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously.
Attachment C.
It's a motion
revised,
for
right?
Attachment C as revised.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. I believe that the staff has, within the last couple of years, looked at the question of the lighting on Fidelity Street. Is that right? Whether the number of streetlights on Fidelity Street is meeting the town standard or not?
I honestly don't recall. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I would like to ask this. Yeah, I would like to ask.
Keep in here. Okay.
Well, I've only been here 5, so. But it could have been right before you got here. All right. Well, could we just have a motion referring that,
so moved.
That issue?
Second.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. So staff will take a look at whether it meets the lighting standard for in-town streets. Thanks very much. All right. Our next item is a request to set a date for the 2008 legislative breakfast.
Mark?
Yes?
I would like to request that we defer this for a week so that I can ask Sarah to contact Representative Hackney's office with some suggested dates that I could attend, because I would very much like to attend if at all possible. And these dates work for me. So.
None of those dates work for you.
Is there any problem with that?
Well, let me make this suggestion. We need to get in as early as possible so that we should address this next week if she can find out, because they're going to be kind of busy.
Yeah, 1 week. That's
can you do it at any Friday? They only do it on Friday.
No, I could do it on the 25th.
The only other thing that I would...
The third session on the 23rd.
Hold it, let me check.
No, but I wasn't asking that we contact you, John, but we contact Speaker Hackney's office.
Well, let me just make a suggestion. I think we should eliminate Section 2.
He Thank
represents
you.
People who are on, who live in Orange County, and so that shouldn't really be a question. He's part of the delegation, and I think we should just remove Section 2.
And may I add that Representative Faison has been invited in the past to our legislative breakfasts. It is.
And he's come in the past,
yes,
too.
Suggest that we have been leaving him out is curious at best and some other things at worst. So I'd like to have that taken off, and I would look forward to his attending again.
Absolutely. I think it makes the wrong suggestion here, and I don't know how that oversight occurred. And Dan, the 25th works best for me too, just so you know.
And if I might just say, let's make sure we invite him for breaking, but better for breakfast.
Well, I withdraw that section. Okay.
So maybe what is the board's pleasure about postponing this decision for a week?
Yes.
That's fine.
Okay, so I think it's sensible. We'll bring this back redrafted without Section 2 at our next meeting.
Can we everybody do it on the 25th? If they say yes, so is that done deal?
It
depends on Hackney.
With Hackney.
It depends on when the delegation to come. That's really going to drive it. Because
right.
The short session starts on May 20, either the 23rd or the 29th. The reason why I keep those numbers in May because we got the directory.
Okay. So we'll have a new resolution before us next week.
Do we need to reappoint for Shea to be WASA board?
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
Well, his term is not up until June 30th. Braxton Fushi, who represents us on the WASA board, I mean, we can do it right now if that's the board's pleasure.
That'd be my pleasure.
Yeah. Why not?
Yes.
Okay.
So move.
It's been
second.
Moved and seconded that we reappoint Braxton Fushi for another
three years
to the AWASA Board of Directors. And then are there any other matters from the staff?
We need to
vote on Braxton.
Oh, didn't you?
No. You say all those in favor signify by saying
aye. I'm just trying to be difficult.
Don't be.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Someone just sent it
out. Not too surprisingly.
Yes.
Are there any matters from the staff? Okay, I have one thing.
I had one announcement, too.
Okay, can you give us go ahead.
Yes, the celebration for Earth and Sky is Sunday at the Century Center, and it's in the evening, but I don't want to say the time because I've just forgotten it, but celebration for Earth and Sky.
2 to 6, I believe.
2 to 6.
Google it. All right. Sunday afternoon and early evening. The last thing is I wanted to request that we begin a process of looking at an amendment to the relevant section of the land use ordinance that has to do with people selling food out of trucks. That we request the staff to bring forward perhaps some proposed language and a resolution. Basically, what I'm saying is they would bring us a resolution, and then by considering that resolution, we would consider whether to schedule a public hearing on a possible ordinance change.
And this wouldn't be to prohibit it.
I think he understands.
I'm
willing to bet.
I think the staff has handled the whole situation with the taco trucks well and the best way that they can. The ordinance is has been clearly enforced one particular way in the past, and what they've done is very consistent with that. So I appreciate their doing that, but I think it might be time to consider whether some modifications to that ordinance are needed. So anyway, if we could have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. All right.
Move to adjourn.
Amazing.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjourning.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
My husband's going to be mad.